the Lord. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? I was thinking, as Brother Jackson was singing there, that that the Lord has never failed me in Morrow. I wish I could say that about myself. I can't say that. I wish I could tonight, but I can't. But the Lord has never failed me. When times been hard and seemed like no one to turn to, He was right there. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful we serve a God like that tonight, don't you? Amen. I'll tell you something that happened to me last night. I preached a sermon, and I thought about preaching it tonight. God gave me another message, but I really thought about preaching it. I thought it went over well. I thought it was good. I thought, man, we can hear this. We can shout, we can dance, have a good time about it. Ain't over till it's over. But I just didn't feel right. I said, God, I want to come and minister. I want to touch someone's heart tonight. And God gave me something to touch your heart. If it don't happen, it's my fault. It's not God's. But tonight, I'm going to preach something from Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, if you'll turn. And stand with me for just a few minutes. I appreciate all the good things that's been said. Appreciate being home again. Good to see all you again. Where'd Brother Philip go to? There he is. Philip, you growing, man. I remember before I left, Brother McCoskey hit me in the face with a pie and you laughed that big around. I'm going to get you back one of these days for that. I've got a picture of you laughing at me when he hit me with that pie. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, the wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do this with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hands, O house of Israel. And I want to preach tonight from a simple thought, going back to the potter's house. Going back to the potter's house. Let's ask God to have his way tonight. Lord, we love you and we appreciate you, God. We're thankful for your goodness, your mercy, and your love. God, anoint your servant tonight. Let us touch your heart, God, with your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Going back to the potter's house. Glory to God. One thing I don't never want to forget is how to get back to my dad and mom's house.
That's right.
I've been gone now for nearly going on 2.5 years, really just a little bit further than that, nearly 3 years, in March, I believe. We've been gone that long, and I've made many trips back across the White River and back across the Arkansas River. And one thing I don't ever want to forget is how to make those turns to get back to where I grew up at. I want to remember that. And one thing I don't ever want to forget is where I was raised, in a Pentecostal church, right here in this church. Amen. I was thinking a while ago, nearly an anniversary is coming up of mine. November the 8th, 1981, I first stepped foot in an apostolic church, and it changed my life, and I'm so thankful for that. Praise the Lord. When you're born, when you first is born, and your mother takes you in the arm, and she looks at you, and you're the cutest and the beautiful little baby, that it doesn't matter just how ugly you are. They're going to say that. Grandpas are always going to say their babies are the prettiest, and I've seen some pretty ugly ones. Yeah. I'm pastoring a church. I have to say things I really don't mean sometimes. That's the prettiest little baby I've ever seen. And really down inside, I ask God, just forgive me for this one little story, because that little boy is a hank. I mean, he's terrible. But you've never seen one until you've seen mine, and I hadn't even seen him yet. But he or she's on his way one of these days. I'm looking forward to that. But when they take that little baby and they carry it home, and you're there by yourself. I remember my daughter when we brought her home there. You take that little baby, and the first thing you do, you try to teach that little baby how to talk. You try to teach it how to say mama, and you try to teach it how to say daddy. And you spend some time with it, and as that little baby begins to grow, and I've seen some of you when you was born, and now you're up this high, Philip, and some of you when you was born.
and can take that little baby, and I've seen Brother Jackson tear that boy in the prayer room and teach him something. You know what you're doing? You're teaching that boy something about life. You're teaching that boy. You're molding him into something that he needs to be for God. Hallelujah. And you begin to teach that child the way of the Lord. And you begin to teach him, don't do this because this will hurt your son. I've already been down that road. If you listen to me, I'll make your life a little bit easier. You know what you're doing? You're putting that child on your own potter's wheel. And you begin to mold him. And you begin to shape him. And you begin to make something out of that kid. All of them's going to do this. I don't care who they are. When they get old enough to walk, you tell them, don't touch it, it's hot, and every one of them is going to touch it.
Yeah.
But once they've touched it, from then on, they're going to remember what you said. That's hot, I'm not going to touch it anymore. Sometimes it just takes being burnt. Sometimes. I'm going to turn to Genesis, the second chapter. You don't have to turn there because I'm not going to read very much there. Then I'm going to turn back. There's just some things in life that it just takes time to mold and shape.
Right.
And the Bible says in Genesis, the second chapter and verse 7, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And I begin to link this with the potter's wheel tonight, and I begin to think, oh, just exactly what does that word form? What's really in that word? And I picked up Webster Dictionary, and this is what it says. It says, the shape of an external appearance of a body, as distinguished from its material. It means to mold, to arrange, to combine in any particular manner, to model, to instruct, to devise, to create. And then all of a sudden it hit me. My God just didn't step down here and say, man, get up out of that dirt. He formed us.
Yeah.
He took a little time to begin to shape us and begin to shape us like he wanted us to be. The Bible says we're created in his image. Aren't you glad tonight that you was on God's potter's wheel?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I like that when I read that. It was just more than just speaking the word. He took time to shape and form us into what we need to be for him. And as we go back, let me tell you a little bit about the potter. He sits there in those days. They didn't have electricity. They didn't have things like we have today. He had a little machine there that he paddled, and he turned this little piece of clay around. He would pick it up, and he'd put it on a board, and he'd begin to paddle it. It would begin to go around and around. And he would take his hand, and he would put it on that clump of clay, and he would begin to shape it, and he began to form it until it started looking like a vessel. Hallelujah. That makes me think when I come into the house of God, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. And then he began to put his thumbs on it and make little grooves and handles. But when he got almost through with it, he noticed there was something wrong.
Right.
It had a little flaw. It had a little crack. It wasn't just right. He'd take the whole lump, put it down there again, put it wet again, put it on the board, and start all over until he had that vessel the way he wanted it to be. That's the hands of a potter. And then we go down just a little bit further tonight. Aren't you glad that God puts you back on that potter's wheel?
Yes.
Aren't you glad one day that when you come to God, you were just a broken vessel? You didn't have anything to offer God. But you were saying when you come to that altar, God, put me on that potter's wheel again. Mold me, shape me one more time. I've missed the mark.
Oh God.
My God, my God, my God. Going back to the potter's house. I want to take you to 2 Samuel, an old story we've heard many, many times. But I think it fits with the message tonight, going back to the potter's house. Samuel, the 11th chapter and verse 1, it said, it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servant with him and all Israel. They destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. We've heard this story preached over and over and over and over. And we've just almost pushed David down in the mud. But listen to what the Bible says about him. He says that he was a man after God's own heart. He wrote many of the book of Psalms. So he was a man that loved God. But there was a time in his life that he got down off the potter's wheel. And he went the wrong direction. And God brought him down.
Yes.
Let me tell you a little bit about the story here. We know the story that he sinned with Bathsheba. Bathsheba became expecting a child. Things just got bad. You know the Bible says your sins have found you out. The Bible also says God knows the secrets of your heart. There's a lot of folks sitting in the apostolic church tonight with sin dripping off their lives, and all they have to do is come back to the potter's house. All they got to do is come back to the potter's wheel and let God begin to shape you again and make something out of your life. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Going back to the potter's house.
Glory.
We find here as he committed this sin with Bathsheba, and things got worse and worse and worse, and she becomes expecting a child, and he thought, oh my Lord, what am I going to do now? Instead of going back to the potter's house, he said, I'm going to cover this sin up. I'm going to send out Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. I'm going to put him in the hottest battle, and I'm going to get him killed, and no one ever know about it.
Praise
my God.
God,
that's exactly what happened. But God sent the prophet Nathan to him. He said, boy, you're in a heap of trouble. You messed up big time. God knows all about what you've done. And then David says something here in the 13th verse and chapter 12. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. He realized, my God, I've got to get back to the potter's house. I know what I've got to do about this. I've got to go fall at the feet of God and make things right with him. But it was too late for that little son of his. Even when he left, the son became sick until death. And David fasted and David prayed and David cried for 7 days, the Bible says. But this is what he done, and I like it so much. Not because David killed Goliath that made him famous. Not because he was king. Because he knew where the potter's house was. He knew the road that went back to the potter's house. And he made his way there.
Oh.
7 days he laid there. He began to see him whisper. He began to see him talk. And he knew that, well, my son has died. Might as well get up. And this is what it said in verse 20. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. My God, he knew where the potter's house was. Even though he dipped down in sin, even though he made a bad mistake, David, you're great because you knew where to go to. You went back to the potter's house and made things right. You went back into the hand of God and he began to mold you and shape you into that vessel he wanted you to be. My God, don't ever forget. Don't ever forget how to go back to the potter's house in your life. You've got to know it. You've got to know how to go back to God.
Yeah, that's right.
The problem is many folks have got what they call seniority. They've got what they call seniority in this thing. Bible says God's no respecter of person. Seniority don't mean one thing. There was a man that had a vineyard and he went out and hired some help. In the third hour he went out again and said, I got to have some more help. I don't have enough. He went out the 6th hour. He went out the 9th hour. He went out the 11th hour. And they got the same reward as the ones in the beginning. I'm telling you, it's never too late to go back to the potter's house. There's been many times in my life that I've come back to the potter's house and fell across an altar and wept and cried. And touch God with my tears. Why, Brother Alverson? I want to be saved. I want to see my God and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. My Lord.
Amen.
David knew how to go back to the potter's house.
Amen.
Maybe that's why the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death.
But
it's going to cost you, but the gift of God is eternal life. Hallelujah. You go back to the potter's house and it will make you again and touch your body again. Hallelujah. I've been pastoring long enough now to know this. Some folks come into church. I remember this scripture when I left. Paul was writing to Timothy, telling him, let me tell you one thing. Don't you be a novelist. Because when they lift you up, buddy, the same one's going to kick the prop out of money. I remember that. I've thought about that many times.
Yeah.
Man, I've been pastoring nearly 3 years. I know all there is about it. Yes, forgive me, God. Forgive me, Lord, for saying that, because I know, Brother Rutledge, know I'm kidding about that. Man, that pats you on the back, tell you, Brother Howard, you're doing a good job. But if you come in the next morning and you move the chair out of place, it's been sitting there, bless God, for 49 years, and you turn it the wrong way, I just don't appreciate it. Let me tell you something, honey. You better go back to the potter's house. The Bible says rebellion is the sin, as is the sin of witchcraft. It'll cost you your soul if you don't know how to go back to the potter's house. My God, my God, my God. Let me go on tonight. I've seen people that would come in would bring such a blessing. They'd shout, they'd dance, they'd bless God, only later on to get a little cold. Do you know your pastor can tell if you've been on the potter's wheel or not? He can tell by just watching your actions. If you don't feel like worshiping God, you better come back to the potter's house. If you don't feel like getting here and praying, even though it got me kicked out of the church one time. Me and Brother Hurst was drinking coffee, and he said, you ever heard of Moro? To make a long story short, here I am in Moro.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. If you don't feel like praying, if you don't feel like worshiping God, if you don't feel like it, you better go back to the potter's house. Because Satan is standing there patting that foot, wanting to tell you, I'll take you, and I'll destroy you, and I'll spit you out and laugh in your face.
Amen.
We get to the place, oh, Brother Kressley, this suit here, Vic Lumpkin gave me, I don't mind wrinkling it up. And I ain't wrinkling up one of my $45 suits.
That's right.
No, sir, I'll do this one here. If we get to the place that we can't come and fall across that altar and get back on that potter's wheel and feel the hand of God on our life again, we went too far. We forgot to go back to the potter's house. We forgot the road.
Amen.
I've seen folks come in. Man, they'd be such sweet, innocent saints of God. And it wouldn't be long, something would cross them, and they'd get this nasty spit. And you'd be trying to preach, and you know you don't dare. You wouldn't touch him with a 12-foot pole. You wouldn't touch him with a 20-foot coffee pole, Brother Grover. You wouldn't get it close to him. They'd snap the end of it off. What they need to go back to the potter's house. They need to get back in the hands of God.
Amen.
And they've got them in every church.
Yeah.
Except this one. We got them in Moro. I guarantee you. You have to be careful what you say and what you preach. Because they'll jump on you with both feet, both hands, and all that kind of stuff. I'm telling you, there's people sitting in our churches today that's forgot the way to the potter's house. Let me tell you, if God touched your life and changed you, you was on the potter's wheel. Don't forget how to go back. Don't forget how to go back. You've got to know how, because you've got to do it in your heart. You're going to stumble. You're going to fall. You're going to say something wrong. And you've got to go back. You've got to be mad enough to go back to God. Say, God, I've made a mistake. Would you please let me get back on the potter's wheel? I feel like I'm cracked. I feel like my spirit's broken. God, would you take me back and let me get back on the potter's wheel? Don't ever forget the road back to the potter's wheel. The Bible says we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Aren't you glad you know tonight you've been on the potter's wheel?
Oh, hallelujah.
Let me read something to you in 1 Corinthians 6 chapter, verse 9. Mm-hmm. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, adulterers, effeminate, abusers with themselves, with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to this. But such were some of you. What happened, Brother Iverson? I got on the potter's wheel. What happened, Brother Iverson? You come in and you had these things tagged on you. I got on the potter's wheel. And then God put his hand on my life and it changed it.
Hallelujah.
Such were some of you. But God allowed us to get on that potter's wheel and it changed our life.
That's good,
brother. Listen to this. Verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? I know that. I've been on the potter's wheel.
I know what my body is.
The Bible said we should live righteously, soberly, righteously, godly in this present world.
I know that, Brother Lovett. I've been on the potter's wheel. I know what it is to live for God. I've been on the potter's wheel. It changed my life.
Hallelujah. Brother Albert, don't you ever forget. I keep hearing it ringing over and over in my mind.
Don't ever forget the way back to the potter's house, because you've got to come back and see me
sometime in your life.
Oh.
You've got to come back and see me. You're not going to make it if you lose the way. You're not going to make it if you lose the way. There's many folks sitting in a church tonight that needs to make their way back to the potter's house. They know all about the blessings of God. They know all about speaking in tongues and shouting, living right and all that. But they've lost their way to the potter's house. Oh, God, help the United Pentecostal Church to wake up and realize we've got to find a way back to the potter's house.
Amen.
Oh, and I tell you what. What's the difference between that church and this church? Not one thing. Not one thing. I ran, I shouted, I bucked, I cried, I snorted, I kicked all in that other church. What's the difference? There's not one bit of difference in the world. I'm telling you, we need to go back to the potter's house and stay there until he touches our life.
That's all right.
When they put it on there, he broke it down again. Had a crack. Had an ear broke off. That's how we come to God, Brother Ronnie. We've come broke. We've come tattered. We come torn. God took us and put us back on that wheel. When we were born, we was just like God wanted us to. Yeah. But then we went the wrong way. We took the wrong turn. And we come back to God. Oh, we can say, God, have mercy on us. Let us be in your hands once again.
Amen.
He took our cracked spirit. He took our old sneezy bodies we had. And we throwed them at his feet. And he said, I'll pick you up. I'll put you on that same potter's wheel I had one time, and I'll begin to work. It takes some time sometimes. You don't do it overnight.
That's right.
Man, it took me 19 years to learn how to say ulcer. Had three stomach operations. God give me an ulcer. That's what I got. I'm trying to say that other word. Ulcer. Ulcer. You heard it? You've seen some of the things I've done. I was green, I was ignorant, but I'll tell you what. The 9 years I was healed, God had me on that potter's wheel.
Right.
Oh, he began to shake me. He was looking down the road. Brother Alton, one day you're going to pass the church. I couldn't see down the road. Oh, I was thinking about it right here. And he began to pal and work me around and work off some sharp edges. And Brother Lovitz would put his hands on me and shape me and then make me into what he needs me to be. I can't help him tell you tonight. I never did get to the place I feel like he wanted me to be. But anyway, God has got his hand on us now. We can't forget.
Amen.
The road back to the potter's house. There was a story I read not long ago. Oh, it's been four times flying fast now.
Yeah.
Several years ago, I guess. About some people that the car broke down. I believe it was a story. They got out and was trying to find their way back. And they got lost in the snow and in a storm and everything like that. And they froze to death. And when they found them, they were just over a little ridge from a whole town. There's a lot of folks tonight that's sitting right here and in my church and other churches that needs to make their way back to the potter's house and tell God, Lord, I've got a bad spirit. I've got this. I've got that. I just need you to put your hands on me, God, and let me be pliable that you. You know, some folks get so hard he can't do nothing with them. Man, I've got folks and I know what they need. I preach to them and just look like I almost set the carpet on fire. Man, just ricochets off of them. The Bible says, you're not careful. You'll have your conscience seared as a, with a hot iron. Can't even touch it no more. Be seared with a hot iron.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. Just don't ever forget how to go back to the potter's house.
That's right.
Because in your life somewhere, if you don't feel like worshiping, if you don't feel like praying, if you don't feel like shaking your pastor's hands, you don't feel like hugging each other's neck.
All right.
Almost do anyway. The devil didn't want you to hear that.
Thank you.
I forgot what I said. Don't ever get to the place that you can't hug each other's neck, shake each other's hands. Don't ever get to the place that you get a bad spirit about you, that you can't come back to the potter's house. Let me tell you something now. There was times in my life, some of you rubbed me the wrong way. I went home, I had a bad spirit about it. This man up here was one of them too.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
You were doing the right thing, brother.
I'm not saying that. But I went back to the potter's house, and he put me there, and he began to shake me and tell, hey, I've seen it just like it's supposed to be. My God, let's not forget to go back to the potter's house, because God needs to put his hands on us sometimes. David, you're great because you never forgot the road back to the potter's house. Oh, God, let's all stand tonight. Going back to the potter's house. Let me tell you, there was years here that I come up that altar and fell across there, wept and cried because I needed to go back to the potter's hands. And moreover, there's times that I went in there and wept and cried because I needed to go back to the potter's house. Then he put his hands on me again. And tonight I just feel like, I'm honest, I feel like God sent this message for somebody tonight. I wanted to preach something else, but God kept prodding me. No, no! Tell them that the potter's house is still here. The road's still there. The door's still open. Would you come tonight? Would you come to the potter's house tonight? Say, God, Lord, put your hand on me. Shake me again, God. Help me, Lord. That's time to come and
catch me. Thanks to God.
Come on, let's all come on.
When the storm
comes, I want to come back to the potter's house. I want to come back.